Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking telemedicine with Kamel Jemwa. He's the CEO of Prominence Health Plan, plus politics with Fred Locken. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Kamel Jemwa, who is the CEO of Prominence Health Plan. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be here.
The topic starting out is telemedicine. And I've got to say that my two experiences with this have been extraordinary so far. Hmm. The first one was my wife who needed a prescription update, and normally she would have to go to the doctor for this, but because of COVID, she got a phone call from the doctor's office to just get her vital statistics, and then about 15 minutes later, she got a call from the doctor and was able to get her prescription refilled and move on. And I realize this is the least technical of anything, but normally it would be go to the doctor's office, sign in,
yep,
leave a doctor's office having left your cell phone number. Maybe 2 hours later you would get a phone call. It's time for you to come back in. You would sit for an hour in the doctor's office and maybe another 15, 20 minutes waiting in the anteroom before you get in. So the fact that this was all done in the space totally of 20 minutes was extraordinary. So let's start out with that. The efficiency seems to be much greater for the mundane. Is that correct?
Yeah, Sam, I 100% significantly much more efficient on any sort of basis that you think about it. I'm glad that you started out the conversation with the fact that you had a positive experience, because I'm biased towards telehealth being a very positive experience, and we need more of it. We can't have enough sort of telehealth adoption.
So what's the negatives?
Yeah,
who's not in favor of it?
Right. Yeah. Well, so there were a couple things. I mean, I think I wouldn't necessarily sort of start the question out with who's not in favor of it. I think why has it not been adopted historically? Maybe that's the impetus of the question. I think one of the biggest factors that changed with COVID-19 was the economic alignment. So CMS, the branch of the government, which is the pain or the payer arm of the government that covers the Medicare population, et cetera, payers generally follow them, and so when they opened up reimbursement for telehealth and made it less complicated and much more clear, i.e., we will pay for a standard visit, as you just described, that, I think, really opened up the forum as it relates to a higher potential for adoption, because it was clear that we would get reimbursed as a provider. If you're a physician, you would get reimbursed for telehealth visits. So that key element, I think, was an impediment in previous adoption. The other piece of it is, I think, as you know, is all of us as humans, consumers, I think, generally just have a difficult time with change, particularly as it relates to picking up technology and sort of deciding that that's something we're going to use for a telehealth visit. But once forced into it, I think we try it once and it's a great experience. I think we start to see adoption rates go up significantly. So we've seen significant increase in adoption rates. Within the Prominence umbrella, we're obviously a fully insured business, so we cover members who are on our HMO fully insured business, but we also administer about 7 ACOs across the country, between all the way from the east to the west coast.
Oh, what are ACOs?
ACO basically stands for an accountable care organization, and what that is in essence, it's in a partnership with primary care doctors to enable them to practice in what we would describe as a value-based care environment, enable them with more data around their patient population through analytics, enable them with staff resources that are outside of their office to support management of patients or populations in a more sophisticated fashion.
And okay, is that from an accounting standpoint?
It's a combination. It's first and foremost, it's from a healthcare and a quality of care perspective. There's a financial element to it that I think is that creates sort of an incentive to care, or for the physicians to want to engage in these accountable care organizations. And the orientation is that if they reduce the total cost of care for what we'll describe as the government coffers or the total Medicare spend, they get a piece of that shared savings. So that incentivizes them to want to more proactively be the quarterback for those patients and take care of those patients. So as you can imagine, telehealth creates an access point. The biggest thing that we see to telehealth that makes it such a positive opportunity is that one of the biggest impediments to total healthcare spend is access to healthcare. It's the inefficiency of it. It's the description that you just described, which is the fact that you were able to get your diagnosis, get your prescription, it was sent in, and it was all done without you having to go into a waiting room, wait to see the doctor, go through that process, which often, I think, there are protocols built into a physical visit that don't necessarily have to be built into a digital visit for a standard prescription renewal or just a standard checkup, et cetera. So there's a significant amount of efficiency that when you create that access point, you also create opportunity for other people who need to see that physician in person to be able to come in. And so you basically removed a significant amount of a bottleneck that occurs in the system.
Well, also, you're not sitting in a waiting room with a bunch of sick people. I mean, realistically, especially in a time of COVID, but I mean, in flu season, in cold season, whatever it might be, you don't want to be sitting in a waiting room with a bunch of people hacking.
That's exactly right.
And, you're obviously going to have a concern about that. I find it unbelievable, even for people, as you say at the beginning of this conversation, who are used to a certain way of doing business, that if you offer them, no, you don't have to sit in the doctor's office for a couple of hours, that they're going to be applauding, not concerned and saying, well, this is messed up. One of the areas that I've talked to many doctors about, which is that one of the biggest things that most doctors practices are lonely people who have fairly empty lives, and one of the ways that they communicate with other humans is by calling the doctor's office and spending time talking to nurses, doctors, using up valuable time. And I don't want to be detrimental to those people, because obviously they have a need.
Right.
But
that's
at the same time, for an efficient medical system that is trying to cure people, this is not the best use of resources. What happens to those people? Do we need to develop another system that takes care of people who have other issues like loneliness?
I would actually, just on the topic of telehealth, I mean, I would almost argue that telehealth advances the ability to take care of those patients more intentionally. So some of what I described earlier, if you think about an accountable care organization model or a managed care model in sort of an HMO sort of perspective or a health plan perspective, all of our orientation is to how do we help keep patients healthier at the end of the day, and so are providers. So to use your example, More often than not, I think what we find is a significant amount of chronic illnesses develop as a result of loneliness or the lack of ability to be able to go in and see their provider or engage with their provider. So telehealth suddenly opens up a venue by which I'm a physician, I can much, much more efficiently interact with that patient on a more frequent basis. I could potentially have that patient on a regular every 30 days. And CMS, interestingly, has even sort of built what they call virtual check-ins. So there's a reimbursement model for virtual check-ins that is really oriented to exactly that same concept, which is patients need to see their physician more frequently in many cases for various reasons. So let's encourage that, because we know that that's going to reduce the potential chronic illnesses that could develop with them and then end up in the ER and end up with hospital admissions, et cetera. And let's leave room for the people that need that. So telehealth really sort of opens up the venue. It also opens up the venue in the sense that now a nurse practitioner or a behavioral health physician, a psychiatrist, et cetera, somebody with behavioral health training can now also engage in that care model. The other element of it is that you're not only engaging with the patient, sometimes you're engaging with the patient's family.
Right.
So in instances, you learn more about their social sort of situation or structure by the very fact that you're interacting with them via this video screen in their place of care, their home, their place of sort of regular living, for lack of a better word.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come back more on telehealth after this timeout.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Kamel Jemwa. He is the CEO of Prominence Health Plan, and we're talking about telemedicine. It seems like, you know, and I think you've partially explained this, that it's the federal government, Medicare, that was really holding things up by not applying the reimbursements for telehealth. But for folks living, for example, in rural Nevada, I mean, I know stories of people in Elko that have needed to come to Reno for treatment and tests and test results and things like that, that could have been so much more efficient because the doctor's offices don't have time to sit and plan and worry about, well, this person is coming in from Elko, therefore we've got to deal with them in a different way because the amount of time it takes to get there, how many days they need to perhaps spend in Reno, whatever that might be. So on every level, it just seems to be more efficient. Do you think we're going to get to the point in the near future where email or texting between the doctors or the PAs and the patients is going to become, more likely rather than even the doctor's visits? You know, for some of this basic stuff.
Yeah, I do. I think telehealth adoption or just the concept of people starting to realize that we can engage with our physician through other mediums besides a physical visit, I think is going to open up the cadre as it relates to using other avenues. Now, with that said, I think there's a core element to any form of medical clinical communication, which is this HIPAA Protection Act, which is that we've got to maintain the privacy of the information for those patients. So it has to be done through devices that maintain and support the HIPAA sort of protection requirements. So there are already, I think, sort of texting apps, et cetera, through which physicians engage with other physicians or other clinicians, and I think those will continue to get extended at some point to the patient population. We already do a significant amount of sort of pushing. For example, today if you want to do a telehealth visit with one of our care centers, we push that through a text, the link for Zoom through a text, and that enables the patient to be able to sort of log into that Zoom meeting right away on at the time of that appointment. So that opening up that line of communication is going to advance in a material way, in our opinion.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it for now, but please come back. Lots more to talk about on this topic. It's fascinating. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sam. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with Fred Locken after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at
851-9499. I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Fred Locken. He's a professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Always a pleasure to have you here, sir. Let's look at some of the congressional races in the state of Nevada. We haven't had much of a chance to talk about it at this point. But, you know, in the two alleged swing districts, there could be quite battles going on between Stephen Horsford and Jim Marchant and Susie Lee and Dan Rademeyer. Let's start with Stephen Horsford and Jim Marchant. Could be quite the battle royal there, as not only are both campaigns raising considerable money, especially Stephen Horsford, the incumbent congressman, but outside groups are looking at this as, you know, a potential change.
Well, certainly the controversies that befell Horsford in the primary are haunting him at this stage. I think that makes him look vulnerable. But we are seeing a change in mood in American politics. And, you know, what used to be almost automatically destructive and campaign ending, we're off the rails, and really so many things don't matter anymore. So I'm not sure he's as vulnerable as they hope that he is. I think that what we do know is that Horsford has become a better campaigner, a better person at raising money, more organized. I think the return to the House, everybody felt there was a sort of a new and improved individual serving in that role. And so I think he comes back to the voters with a better success story. He's moving up in leadership. He's kind of a recognized player, and I think he's going to get a good run. But at this point in time, I'm not sure he's as vulnerable as they're saying.
No, and I would agree with you. And the campaigns, for example, on Facebook have looked like somebody doing regular posting rather than, you know, advertisements. And I think that that's been very effective for him. Susie Lee, on the other hand, has come on under a lot of pressure for her voting for a portion of the CARES Act that helped gaming companies be a part of getting, you know, the funding. And her husband, Dan Lee, a longtime gamer, runs full-time resorts. And, you know, whether it's fair or not, she's coming under a lot of pressure because of that. And that is a district that has been very much a swing district. But is her opponent, Dan Rodmeyer, somebody who can win this district? But there's going to be a lot of money in there no matter what.
Yeah, it's not so much. I mean, again, she ran an amazing campaign to get into the House, and so she has the
connections. Not her first.
True. But there was the savviness to it, and so you really have to question the opposition. Are they going to be as well organized out of the gate? But I think also that, you know, we have larger forces in action. I'm not sure that Republican voters are motivated in many states this time around. Right now there's turmoil within the party. The heart of the party, being a moderate, has been under severe attack. And many of them are wondering if they're even in the right place. So you have to wonder about the voter turnout of the Republican Party. We're at the lowest point of anyone identifying as Republican.
All right, hang on. I got to ask you about that. Yeah. With Donald Trump at the top of the ticket, you think that there's going to be a lack of enthusiasm in terms of voter turnout, either positive or negative for him?
Yes, I think that it's a big leap for them to be able to turn around and vote for anybody else. So the real question for a number of Republicans this time, if they voted for Trump last time, is am I willing to do it again? And all the polling is suggesting that that has slipped, that there are a number of Republicans that, you know, after 4 years, that they can't bring themselves to vote for his reelection. What likely we will see is them staying home. Instead of, you know, holding their nose and trying to vote for a Democrat or waste their vote on what they see as a third party candidate like Kanye West, they will, who will not be on your ballot.
Or the Green Party.
Exactly. But it's not someone that the Republican Party goes to, the Green Party, all that much. And so I think,
to say the least.
So I think that what we may see is you know, there is a feeling that there could be a major Democratic wave. No one's talking about great turnout for the Republican Party this time. And I think at that point, it helps not only nationally, but it also helps someone like Susie Lee here in the state of Nevada.
Okay. Is this the most important vice presidential pick ever?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. And I think Joe Biden realizes how important it is. And it's kind of like having to have the wisdom of Job, and I don't know if he can meet anybody's expectations, whoever he chooses. But we have a feeling that at age 78, you want to have the right kind of person in that role, because it's a circumstance that over 4 years, if he wins, he might not have the health to sustain. You have the reality of, you know, you're talking about bringing a person of color, possibly a woman, up to the
ticket.
Well,
no, definitely a woman, because he said it's going to be a woman.
Yeah, but, you know, I think
things change.
I think they're running tests, and that, you know, they're not finding the magic combination. What I understand is the one name that constantly surfaces that would be the home run is Michelle Obama, and I think that's kind
good luck on that.
Exactly, but short of that, everyone by nature is flawed, and they're doing probably the best betting job of any recent campaign. And you do find that everyone has something in their past, and now that does matter.
Does Kamala Harris come into the heading of Team of Rivals if he were to pick her?
Well, possible, but I mean, he has never officially said he's a one-term president, but everyone kind of sees that his administration will bring
He'd
the next...
He'd be 84!
I know, but hey, we had Von Hindenburg. Yeah. Sure, he was senile. But it literally has to be a one-term presidency. But that means then that his administration would be the proving ground for the next generation of leadership for the party. So I think you have a lot. You have all of these candidates ran for president. You have others who are in the party. They're all going to be gravitating to try to become players in this administration. And there's going to be a tremendous rivalry for people for 2024 out of the gate, no doubt.
Steve Sisolak has come under a lot of heat for all kinds of things since he's become elected governor. The word bully comes up more often than I've ever heard before. This should encourage Republicans to run. You hear whispers about Mark Amaday, but you're also hearing about Dean Heller again.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, we also know that there's your time, right? Hillary's time was not 2016, and I think there for Dean Heller, he had his time. I'm not sure he comes back even with the same name recognition 4 years later, and so that's very problematic for him. Amaday has been a bullet, but he's not the favorite of the Republican Party. He and the Republican Party have been at arm's length in the state of Nevada, and understandably so.
Hang on, because he was chairman of the state Republican mm-hmm. Party. He also is extremely popular in the rurals mm-hmm. in Nevada. So which part of the Republican Party do you think that he is not popular with? It's the public that doesn't know him in southern Nevada at all.
Well, precisely. So name recognition is critical for him. And on the other hand, he's a pretty savvy campaigner, and he does raise the money, so it'd be effective. But no, the state Republican Party hasn't come out and accused him of being a rhino, but they have had real severe differences over some of the policies. I think Amaday, on occasion, has tried not to be as... He walks a very fine line in the 2nd District. The 2nd District is not the rural Nevadans anymore, and he's got to try to keep a lot of people sitting in the urban western part of his district happy, too. So he's having to walk a more moderate line than the state Republican Party would like him to. And I think that becomes a factor in running him as a state candidate, because guess what? Rural Nevada doesn't run the state either anymore, and so you have to have a more savvy, more urban-oriented candidate that is going to bring votes back to the Republican Party.
And that's where we have to leave it. Fred Locken, always a pleasure. Have you back soon.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.